This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Could be Daniel Jones playing the Chiefs on Black Friday.
Oh boy, New York Post has got a story. Raiders emerge as more interesting favorite to land Daniel Jones.
What do you think about that, Mr. Briscoe? You're going to get Aiden O'Connell, Desmond Ridder, Daniel Jones. Oh my God.
You know, it really puts things into perspective after a little bit of a frustrating game against the Panthers where we got to watch Patrick Mahomes for 60 minutes. It really resets me on a Monday morning like this to think about a quarterback room made up of that three-headed monster.
I mean, think about all the other quarterback rooms waddling around the NFL and what some of these teams have. I mean, if you're looking at this point of the season to sign Daniel Jones, you might as well just give up for the rest of the year. And that's kind of where the Raiders are. As they get ready to roll in here, we thought yesterday would be that get well game. Hey, maybe it's Friday afternoon against the Raiders on Black Friday, right?
I mean, it could be, sure. We also thought Christmas against the Raiders last year could have been that. And I don't even know what the Chiefs are getting right from, right? Getting right from close games, getting right from stressful games. I think the biggest thing that we learned yesterday is that the Chiefs' issues aren't matchup dependent, right? That it doesn't have to be Josh Allen and the Bills to pick on the weaknesses in the secondary or to take advantage of an underperforming pass rush. So I don't think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell or Desmond Ridder or whoever's playing quarterback for the Raiders. I don't think it's going to be quite as successful as even Bryce Young was yesterday, but I do have cause for concern in a few depths here, and I think it's just kind of who this version of the Chiefs really is at this point.
What's scarier, JB? The defense kind of coming down to earth, or the fact that Patrick Mahomes is beginning to scorch the earth?
I would say, good question, and of course it depends on if you are, the villagers seeing the dragon in the air, or if you're maybe the little dragons back at home wondering if mom's coming back.
No doubt.
Obviously, at this point, like, I am pretty concerned about the specific ways that the defense has come back down to earth, really just since the Jalen Watson injury. It's not some big mystery. I mean, all of these factors are intertwined, but that is the exact other side of this coin that I think should give Chiefs fans a little bit of confidence at this point, noting that the Chiefs have been in a situation like this before throughout so much of last year, and then you do get a scorched earth late game Patrick Mahomes scramble. You've seen him go into this mode several times now in recent weeks. Obviously, it wasn't enough against Buffalo, but I do think that is the stock up, stock down at this point, is that you're getting more and more worried about the defense, rightfully so, and you should be getting less and less worried about the offense as Patrick Mahomes starts doing the superhero thing as the weather gets colder. It's not a peak offensive strategy, but it's something the Chiefs always have in their bag.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's not necessarily about the defensive backs, or like, this defensive line has been non-existent. Chris Jones hasn't had a sack in 7 weeks. George Karloftis is on a milk carton right now. Like, those guys that were getting home and getting sacks earlier in the year are doing nothing at this point in time.
Yeah, and that's the interconnectedness of it all, because I do think, you know, when Charles Omenihu comes back, let's hope for the best in terms of how he looks coming off an ACL, and I have a little bit of skepticism. It's just a very hard thing to recover from in this tight of a timeline. But when the pass rush is better, the secondary always looks better. When the secondary plays better, the pass rush looks better. Those are two sides of the same rope that the defense is always tugging on. At this point, they've both essentially let go of the rope, and that to me is why you see it snowballing in the way that you have right now. I think maybe even more worried about the pass rush. And the Chiefs told you they were at the deadline by acquiring Joshua Uche. Like we talked about last week, it was 5 snaps last week, 11 yesterday for him. Maybe there's some juice to find and lower in that depth chart, but it really needs to come from Omenihu at this point, it feels like.
Well, but it also needs to come from Chris Jones. I mean, enough with the, you know, I got near the quarterback, like, bring him to the ground. We're not doing these useless baseball stats that, you know, tell me you're a loser without telling me a loser with hard hit rate. Like, Jones is getting paid to sack the quarterback. Back, and he's not getting that job done this year.
I'd argue that he's getting paid to affect the quarterback, as every defensive lineman is, or every quarterback hassler is. But also, I'd give you the ground on the fact that he has won some reps that he hasn't finished over the last few weeks. Like, whatever you said, 7 weeks without a sack. That's a long time for a great player to go without a sack. So that's absolutely true. I think that is, again, it's like, you know, McDuffie is in a comparison here. He's had a couple of tougher games this season, but it's a little bit like saying, you know, well, Trent McDuffie doesn't have an interception. Why isn't this excellent corner creating more turnovers? Well, it's because smart teams aren't targeting him very often. Smart offenses aren't letting Chris Jones do any dictating of where the football should be going because he's the only thing that they're planning for across that defensive line. And yet, he has played better football, and he has been more successful at actually bringing down the quarterback. So I do think there's a little bit there, but also he's the least of the problems on the D-line.
When you look at the defensive side of it and the possibility of Omenihu coming back, I think a lot of people are going to have expectations that should, you know, open the floodgates, per se, for a guy like Chris Jones. Do you expect Omenihu to kind of be that guy, or is it going to be a wait and watch for Josh Briscoe?
I'm gonna have to really slow play it, man. I love Charles Minihu on the football field. I think he's the second best pass rusher on this team when everybody's healthy behind Chris Jones. It's just such a quick turnaround from such a serious injury. Again, late January, AFC Championship game, tearing his ACL. That turnaround, there's the physical turnaround of like being able to get back on a football field. And then there's the process of getting further into football shape while you're actually getting reps. And then there's the mental aspect that players talk about all the time, how long it takes to get all the faith back into that knee. So if we could see Charles Omenihu looking anything like himself from last year by the time the playoffs begin, I'd be thrilled. I would settle out of court for that right now.
Yeah, and I think we all would at this point in time, but like, again, we're putting our eggs in the basket of a gentleman who hasn't played since January, you know. Yeah. and hoping that he comes back and can be a guy that brings the heat, if you will, along that defensive line. But like, if Chris Jones is the least of your worries, then what are your worries? Because George Karloftis is nowhere to be found. The other guys on the interior of that defensive line are nowhere to be found. Chris Jones is your moneymaker, right? Like, Dusty, yep, used the analogy earlier. If Aaron Judge went 2 months without hitting a home run, you'd be like, what the hell, man? Like, we're paying you to hit these home runs. Like, I think when you're a certain level player and Chris Jones is in that category, borderline Hall of Famer, maybe Hall of Famer, the expectations are just higher than everybody else. And if we're relying on, you know, Mike Pinnell or Derek Nnadi or Turk Wharton to come up with these sacks, I think we're looking at it wrong. Like, you get the money, you get the sacks.
Yeah, it's just the fact that it is like a legitimate team sport across that unit, and that when you're talking about the 4-man pass rush against a 5-man line, you can almost always assume that 4 of those hands are going to Chris Jones. Again, that's where the offense has to start, which should theoretically make the degree of difficulty so much lower, so much easier for everybody around him. And that's where I get frustrated, because none of those guys are taking advantage of one-on-one matchups. You mentioned even Tershawn Wharton. He had a great start to this season, and he's fallen off since then. The Mike Pinnell and Derek Nnadi like run stuff guys who ended up getting, you know, almost 40 combined snaps yesterday. This is not a traditional pass rusher, but Leo Chanel ends up having these really these frustrating games where he plays 20 snaps like he did yesterday. And you go, well, that's a defensive weapon, at least. I'm not saying they need to be like lining him up at edge, although it's kind of fun a couple snaps here and there. But when you're looking at who's getting the work, it is Karloftis, it is Dana, Wharton, Pinnell, Derek Nnadi. None of those guys are producing any pass rush juice right now. Dana basically had a coverage sack yesterday.
Yeah,
and again, to the sack conversation, Mike Dana has a sack now. Fantastic. He had a fine play there. He didn't blow up a play. That was a win for the secondary. So it is a sliding scale for me in terms of how you judge affecting the quarterback. And while Jones has not been the singular force that you would like to see him be throughout a good stretch of these last several weeks, virtually nothing from anyone else is a much bigger issue for me. And that is Karloftis. That is Dana. Maybe we do see a little more Joshua. I know Spags is having some trust issues with him on early downs. I understand he's a different type of defensive end, but they have to continue trying to tweak that rotation, because this right now is not good enough.
But 57 sacks a year ago and not even close to that at this point in time, and it's the same people back. Like, why do you think it's such a big discrepancy, I guess?
I think L'Jarius Sneed might be my first answer for you there in terms of, again, like where the secondary has fallen off. When you have a guy like George Karloftis, who has a much more productive season last year than he's having this year, right? Well, how does George Karloftis typically win? It's a lot of power and effort and relentlessness late into games. Well, right now, George Karloftis is slow but consistent, power and effort sacks from last year are turning into medium-length completions against whoever Shamari Connor or Nazi Johnson is covering, or pretty frequently even challenging the safeties. Brian Cook and Justin Reed were both victims of out routes they couldn't close on yesterday, too. So I think it's a matter of when the quarterback is getting rid of the football, and Mike Dana being a little bit banged up this year certainly isn't helping, but I think he and Karloftis have both just taken a little bit of a step back in terms of what they're being able to show and how offensive linemen are responding to them. I think there's a little bit of film catching up, the world catching up on a relatively small bag of tools for Karloftis and Dana in terms of the ways they win, and the way they won last year was really benefited by an elite secondary.
Briscoe, what's going on tonight?
We're going to try to make some sense of all of this. I'm going to continue to try to give you a little bit of hope about the fact that we have seen the Chiefs recover from a hole like this. This is the difference from last year, fellas. They are 10-1 at the top of the AFC.
Yeah.
Not that that means these issues aren't issues, but they're in a better place than they were when we were having some meltdowns around Christmas. So we'll try to break down some of that, maybe make you feel a little better about some things, maybe a little worse about some others in the Josh Briscoe Show tonight from 7 to 9.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you next Monday, and have a happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Appreciate it, fellas. You do the same.
Gobble, gobble.
There you go. Jimmy Gobble. Most Thanksgiving type of names in Kansas City history.
I mean, it starts and ends. Yeah. Did we have anybody named Pie ever?
No, he had a Cocoa Crisp.
Well, you're not eating that for Thanksgiving, though.
I would.
Nah. There's no pie or, like, stuffing.
Do we have a jam?
No. Do we have a dressing? There was a dressing, like Isaiah Dressing. Didn't he play here?
We'll address it on the other side of Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Wow. It's already 9:21. Holy smokes.
Looks like it's about 7 out there. Nobody's out driving today. Yeah, huh?
It's a bundle up jog day today, that's for sure.
Ooh, it is cold out there, man. Take your breath away. Whew.
Take my breath away.
You better
wear a shirt.
I just
always think when I hear that song, I think of Tom Cruise having sex.
Really?
I don't know. Him and that. Kelly McGinnis, is that her name in the movie Top Gun?
Yeah, but who sang it now? It was on the tip of my tongue, and then you said Kelly McGinnis and whatever, and then it made me lose my train of thought.
Take my breath away. Nothing
is that Tiffany?
I don't know.
I think it's Tiffany.
I can go to iTunes. I don't know that sort of music knowledge, like 80s power ballads.
Mm-hmm.
Take my breath away.
Berlin?
Who?
Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin.
Are you being serious? Really? Who's the lead singer of Berlin then? Find that out, because there's no way. Berlin. I never, honest to God, have never heard of that band before.
I just think of him lightly putting her against the wall.
Terry Nunn.
Nope. Not even.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Wow. I've never heard. Like, you would think you'd stumble upon something like that every once in a while. Berlin and Terry Nunn? Is that the original or is that
text line had it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Really?
Then they said, is it new Berlin? Question mark. Lord. From the 620. Dusty, I also think of that because that's the only time I've ever heard that song.
Really?
I've never heard it in my car.
Oh, really?
I've never heard the Ghost song in my car.
The Ghost song?
The one where he's doing the pottery.
Oh, yeah, where they were doing the pottery. Yeah, really?
Never heard. I mean, yeah. I always remember watching on American Idol when they do the tryouts and Simon would be like, good luck, this is my favorite song.
Yeah.
And they would butcher it. No.
So, like, how old's your dad?
67, 68?
Okay, so 68, he's
68.
So he's not quite 10 years older. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, being in the car as a kid was always the oldie station, right? CBS FM.
It was always Sinatra, Buffett, Bob Marley, Springsteen.
So what did your dad?
Or 90s country.
Was your dad rolling cassettes back then?
Mm-hmm.
And then did he have like a CD changer? Mm-hmm. See, my dad never had any of that in the car. It was always the radio. God mm-hmm. love him. An old school man now, but I'm sure he's got like some new features where he can connect his iPhone to the car. But he was never a tape or, you know, it was always light FM or mm-hmm. oldies. And that was it. So those songs were on all the time.
Oh, yeah. From the 913. I'm so glad my radio static took over when you started to sing. Yikes. Wasn't trying to, but all right. I just still can't.
Haven't found the FM yet, have you?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this FM's ever going to take off.
I thought you were getting the check. Boy, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that as a server. Ugh.
Is that the one that gets you every time?
That was one where I'd just be like, I would literally go, ah!
Walk away.
Yeah, like the laughing seagull from Family Guy.
I thought you were going to get the check.
Oh, I thought you were getting the check. Oh, thanks, man. Never heard of that one before.
So what's worse, that joke or the fact that he thought he was the first one to use that joke?
I don't know. That's tough. Because they do, they're all the same guy.
Oh, God, yes.
It's all your Uncle Marty.
Yeah.
It's that guy. Grandpa's paying. Shoot, this guy never tips. That's another one you hate to hear.
Oh, when they do that at the table?
Grandpa's paying. I'm like, oh, dang it. Why can't the, like, you know?
Yeah, and then somebody at the table always says he never tips.
Oh, I've had a couple of times in my serving career back in the day. I say it's like 3 months ago. But yeah, I had two times I had a lady come in. Both of them were ladies, younger. Mm-hmm. And they came in like, hey, I know my dad doesn't tip, so here's a 20. The best thing I ever had was...
Before the meal they did that?
No, it was after.
Okay.
And then the one I had, which was the greatest story I ever had in a restaurant industry, I thought this guy stiffed us on a $350 like dinner. It was like a huge family dinner. We knocked out of the park. They told management we were nice. And I went to my manager. I was like, they left us zero. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, $0, dude. Like, I don't know what we did wrong. Guy came back the very next day when we opened, found me, and gave me the tip. He's like, I must have just taken it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, but here you go. And I was like, damn.
Like, he just forgot to write it down?
I think he took the receipt, the actual receipt, because, like, the one that they left was just blank with a signature. And I was like, what the hell? Does he think, like, there's, like... Like, what the hell?
Oh, I got
and
you.
And I was just like looking at it. I was like, oh. And then he came back the next day. He goes, is Lickens working? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Right here. It's Lickens. He's like, here you go, man. I'm so sorry. And I was like, thank you.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, like,
that's dope, dude. The minute we opened, he walked in the door.
That shows character of somebody.
Oh, dude.
Because what are the odds you're doing that? You forgot the tip. You're like, I'll get you next time. And there may not be a next time or something. You feel bad for 5 minutes. This guy gave you cash.
No, it was the receipt, the actual, like, tip receipt.
So he didn't go, okay, I was saying, he went and got cash and then went, like, this guy's going through steps to make sure he's got this thing right. That's just the character of that guy, man. That's pretty cool.
It's awesome. I, like, shook his hand, like, almost cried. I was like, dude, this never happens, by the way. I was like, I've never had, he's like, well, it sucks if this never happens. I was like, all right. He's like, I got my wallet this morning. He's like, oh, shoot. And he goes, I thought about it all morning, so I came right back here. Googled our opening time, which most restaurants are 11.
Yeah.
More jokes coming in for guys, being a cop and working P&L on Halloween. What are you, a cop for Halloween? Man, brutal.
You're right. It is all the same guy. It is Uncle Randy. You know?
Even Home Depot's chiming in. When I worked at Home Depot, sorry, sir, that's not ringing up. Let me find the price. Well, it must be free then.
Oh, yeah. You know what another good one is for
now
us?
Now you know where the SMH came from.
Yeah. You know what another good one is for us? You really got a face for radio.
Every day.
It's not funny.
If you see the newest commercial, they nailed it.
They did, yeah.
For well, you look fine.
Did I? I don't know.
I mean, I put it on my Instagram story this week. I was like, I look like a cop or I look like I own a van with tenant windows.
Yeah. And you got to get rid of that mustache.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the face for radio one is not original, and it's not funny.
Oh. Oof. I'll take a liter of cola. I think I got a couple of responses on my video. It just said, no wonder you're single. I'm scaring people with this thing. I cannot wrap my head around this whole Coach of the Year narrative.
You're still losing your mind over it.
I went out there and talked to Cody and Drew about it. I'm just like, I'm so flabbergasted that it's not the fact that it's not Andy Reid. That's not what I'm getting at. It's the gap. Like, was Detroit supposed to be good?
Yes.
Okay, were the Chiefs supposed to be good?
Yes.
And that's why we never give it to Andy, right?
Yeah, right, because they were supposed to be good.
Right.
Yeah. You always give it to a 9-8 team that was 6-11 the year before.
Detroit's schedule, and people now are going back and saying the Chiefs' schedule is kind of soft. I don't see that.
How? Because you have to judge a schedule based on when you played the teams.
Yeah.
And when we played Cincinnati in week two,
right,
after beating Baltimore in week one, everybody thought Cincinnati was going to be a good team. Why can't we say Andy Reid and the Chiefs broke Cincinnati? Because maybe they did.
Who's had more... like adversities to get through in their season?
Well, it's the Chiefs. I mean, the Lions lost Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. Let's cry me a blue river of Honolulu blue for these guys. But meanwhile, we didn't even start the season with our offense.
Damn.
Hollywood Brown never played a snap. Rashee Rice was gone after week three or week four. Isaiah Pacheco, week two. I mean, like we have not had a healthy arsenal on offense all season long, and we're overcompensating for a left tackle that can't get out of his own way at this point in time. And defensively, you know, how many injuries do we had over there? Watson's injury is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting to the pass rusher or to the passer.
Yeah,
and they're 10-1. Like, come on. Oh, by the way, we lost maybe the most reliable player in the NFL in Harrison Butker.
See, now he's where I'm at, Mac. He's exactly where I'm at. This was like my volume out there. I was just like, make it make sense. Like, it's the gap. It's the fact that Andy Reid's plus 2,000 and Dan Campbell's plus 160.
Yeah.
And his biggest thing that he had to overcome this year is he lost Aiden Hutchinson.
That's right.
Big player. I'm not saying that. But at the time when Andy Reid lost Rashee Rice, he was tied for the league, or he was second in the league in receiving yards to Nico Collins, who's back, baby. But doesn't matter because they lost again. But either way, that's where I'm at. You know, I'm kind of
like if it was Jim Harbaugh was the big runaway favorite right now, because I think if you're looking at the how they're going to choose coach of the year, Harbaugh has to be in the mix for that, obviously. But you can't have Dan Campbell and Andy Reid with so much separation between the two when they're, I don't want to say the exact same coach, but they have the exact same record. They're both the number one team in their conferences. And you've got Dan Campbell, not that the Vegas odds mean who's going to win, but at plus 160 versus plus 2,000, like, it's a respect thing, as we talk about every week, for Andy Reid. And he's just not getting the respect.
And top text on the 660. The Chiefs have the best roster and quarterback, the same coordinators, same owner, and GM. How can you not understand? Because of the gap, Detroit has the same roster they had on opening day, minus the fact that Jamison Williams missed a couple of games, but he's not hurt. And the fact that they don't have Rashee Rice, they don't have Hollywood Brown, they don't have Isaiah Pacheco.
They don't have Harrison Butker.
And they're 10-1.
All right.
And yet he's plus 2,000.
Yeah, the Lions have the best roster, and they have the same coordinators as well, and the same owner, and the same GM.
Let's see how good Dan Campbell is next year when his offensive coordinator goes to Cincinnati.
Damn right.
Do you think Cincinnati's opening now? Are we convinced that the Bengals are going
to... I think if they miss the playoffs, that's kind of one of those, we have a new standard here in Cincinnati.
What happens today? Because I was talking to somebody over the weekend about that, and somebody around the league, and I'm like, do you think the Cincinnati job opens? And they're like, no, I don't. I don't think they're going to get rid of him. I'm like, that's interesting. Wow.
They're going to give one more chance to start off the year 2-4 and climb from the pits of hell to try to be a successful team at the end of the season. How many years can you keep doing that?
So they're also cheap. How many years are left on his contract?
That's
the Bengals didn't even buy socks for their players at one point. They don't even have a practice facility, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's rough.
They practice at the high school in Cincinnati. Like, I'm being serious about that. Like, their practice facility is basically non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
They were Burrow.
They did.
And they're going to pay Chase.
But you're going to find ways to cut costs. And like, if this guy, Zach Taylor's got a couple of years left on his contract and you owe him millions, they're not going to buy him out. Marvin Lewis roamed the sidelines for basically your lifetime.
Literally. Yeah.
But he was making the playoffs.
Yeah. Every now and then. A couple of teams.
I think you could argue that like Zach Taylor probably had a better run of success than Marv Lewis did.
Oh, he made a Super Bowl.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, maybe, I mean, because the only reason I say that is because I don't think that coordinator is going anywhere without a quarterback that's developed.
I think he'd be stupid. Like, if he called me and said, what do you think I should do? I would say, stay right where you are unless you have a good quarterback.
Like, do we think Antonio Pierce is getting cut or fired?
Yes.
He is after
now,
1 year?
Well, look, dude, they did sell 15% of the team to that hedge fund and 5% to Tom Brady. That's 20% of a $6 billion team that they just sold. So I don't want to hear that they don't have the money in Las Vegas anymore. And they're the number one selling ticket. Like, I heard this morning on Ben Maller, okay, and this will put it into perspective. Mac, how old are you?
26.
The Raiders last won the AFC West when you were 4. They've gone an entire generation of, I think it was.
They won the Super Bowl, right?
They went to the Super Bowl.
And that's picks.
2002 was the last time the Raiders won the division, right? So,
and to be fair, nobody's won this division for 10 years.
Basically. Right. But the Raiders have been non-existent for those 22 years.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're the Raiders right now, man, and you've sold 20% of your team, essentially of a $6 billion entity, and you're the highest price ticket in the NFL, you're not poor anymore. You need to go out there and make the move that's best for your organization. If you think Antonio Pierce is your guy, that's fine. Then get him Daniel Jones and let them go 6-11.
When somebody asks who, you ask who the Lions would beat, who the Chiefs beat? The Ravens,
mm-hmm.
Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
the Chargers, Tampa Bay.
Right.
I mean, those are at least wins and that are incredible.
Cincinnati at the time was a big win. New Orleans was a big win because that's
huge.
Right when they started to, you know, unravel at that point in time. They beat the defending NFC champs on the road.
The Niners was a Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah. Like,
come on.
And they had Brock Purdy.
Yes. Everyone was healthy.
So, again, they have better wins. The Lions' two biggest wins this year are in their division. They beat the Packers on the road, which was a big win. Mm-hmm. It was outside. Conditions were terrible, and their best defensive player went out at the time because Hutchinson was already out.
Yeah.
But, again...
But I'm not trying to denigrate the Lions by
doing
this.
And not only that, their loss is to Tampa Bay, who the Chiefs beat, and the Chiefs' loss is to Buffalo, who's the second-best team in the AFC, and the AFC is a better division than the AFC right now.
Yeah. And
in my opinion, I'm just trying to go back and forth with the text.
I think more of the conversation is, why is Andy Reid at -2,000 or +2,000 and Dan Quinn's at +160?
Why is there such a gap between
the two? And when you have the conversation and when you do the say it out loud test, the more we've talked about it, the more you're like, that really doesn't make any sense whatsoever, unless they're just trying to get a bunch of money on Andy Reid and putting him at +2,000. We'll get a lot of people to start betting. Look at 10-1 Andy Reid and maybe bet him up. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss anymore for the logical stuff that seemingly should happen that doesn't. And Andy Reid not being named and in the conversation for being coach of the year this year with all the injuries and everything that they've already had to overcome, and they're sitting at 10-1.
Mm. And I think that's where the Texans are getting confused. I'm not arguing the teams. I'm arguing the gap between +160 and +2,000. And Andy Reid loses one game on the road to Buffalo and goes from +450 to +2,000.
Had Dan Campbell been +160 and Andy Reid been +200, we're not having this conversation.
Right.
But it's Dan Campbell, 17 other coaches, and then Andy Reid. And you're like, what?
Like, I think Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, and Jim Harbaugh are more deserving than Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell's +160, and his next competitor that's in the race right now is +350.
And who's that again?
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
It's not even Jim Harbaugh.
And then Tomlin's at +400.
And I'm a Tomlin defender. I think Mike Tomlin's the second greatest coach in the league. But after Thursday night, he's out of the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Dan Quinn's out of the conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've lost three in a row. He's out of the conversation. Jaden Daniels may be out of the conversation for Rookie of the Year at this point in time.
Well, I think your Rookie of the Year is your guy.
Bo Nix.
I think he is.
Yeah.
As of right now, he's the Rookie of the Year. No doubt about it. So, again, yeah, I mean... It's the gap that's got me, not the Chive, but like the Lions and the Chiefs, like that +2,000 and +160 to me is mind boggling.
If the Chiefs end up running the table and finish 16-1,
mm-hmm.
Andy Reid's your coach of the year.
Not
like,
if Detroit goes 16-1.
Well, what if they go 15-2? If they are 16-1 and the next best team is 15-2?
Yeah, they're not going to give it.
And Buffalo beat both Detroit and Kansas City. So Sean McDermott's coach of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He should have some discussion.
Absolutely. He should be.
He blew up that roster, and he's trusting his quarterback to go do it. He's been better as a coach.
Yep.
And he's not up there.
And he's not.
He's down the list.
That's crazy.
I mean, I can give you the odds. I mean, I
think we put so much stock into a coach that catches lightning in a bottle, that comes in, takes over a bad team, gets a good draft pick, plays a last place schedule, and all of a sudden it's a charade. What Andy Reid is doing, and every single year that he's been here except one, winning double-digit wins and sustaining success every single year, what this cat's doing, man, is impossible. Find me another coach outside of Bill Belichick who's been able to sustain success. The only carbon copy right now that we can look at is San Francisco. And how's that working out? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think enough credit is given to Andy Reid and company for sustaining this run and the realization of how hard it is to stay on top, because everybody's gunning for you. Every single day, you have to be your best. Or otherwise, you're going to get beat. And they weren't their best yesterday, but they played their best at the end when it mattered most. Andy Reid called the right plays. Andy Reid put him in position to win that game. Guys, coach of the year, man. I mean, I will die on this hill and have no problem doing so. Why did Bob die? He was defending Andy Reid for coach of the year.
So these are your these are the numbers.
Please.
Dan Campbell's +160. Kevin O'Connell is next at +350. Mike Tomlin is third at +400. I'll go all the way to Andy Reid. Mike Tomlin +400. Jim Harbaugh +450. That's laughable. Sean Payton +600. Jim Harbaugh should be closer to Dan Campbell. Sean Payton +600.
Again, Sean Payton.
Yes,
great. And he's had a great year.
Hang on a second though.
Doing with a rookie.
Weren't they 9-8 last year? Or
yep. I think they won 8 or 9 games. Yep.
Yeah. So they were fairly good. They're taking that next step.
And now they're 7-5 with a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Jonathan Gannon, the coach in Arizona, +1,000.
I don't know who that is.
Dan Quinn, +1,400.
Yeah.
Sean McDermott, +1,600.
That's a scam. No, that's a joke.
Yes.
And I'm not a McDermott defender
between he and Campbell. +160 to +1,600.
Okay.
Matt LaFleur, +1,800. Andy Reid, +2,000. How about this guy? Nick Sirianni, +5,000.
9-2. They are a 9-2 football team.
With a new offense. Because they have
New coordinators.
And they have Saquon, who's been great. Right.
And they've added in Saquon Barkley. He's made everything better.
Which, is that a deterrent? Oh, well, he's got Saquon. Is that the deterrent in those odds?
I don't know. Look, he's doing what with Saquon Barkley, what the Giants couldn't for 6 years.
Yeah,
I agree. If you want to play that card,
exactly.
You know, we play the flip side of it. But they'll give Howie Roseman GM of the year because the writers love that guy in Philadelphia.
Love him.
And we'll throw flowers at his feet and forget about Brett Veach and Andy Reid. Oh, what'd they do? Well, they won 3 Super Bowls in a row. But by God, Howie Roseman, man, what a GM he is.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good conversation, fellas.
It's a frustrating conversation, though.
See, that's now you know where I was at. Like,
it's a frustrating conversation because I know Andy doesn't care. You know, he really doesn't.
No, he likes the Lombardi instead of the coach of the year.
Right, and that's fine. But every once in a while, it's about respect. And it's just the respect level for Andy Reid is non-existent right now based on the people who are voting for this coach of the year thing.
Just keep winning. It's like they tell you in Nemo, just keep swimming. That's what the Chiefs need to do. Don't worry about awards, I guess. Dusty, calm down. Stay peace. Stay focused, Dusty. Stay focused, Dusty. We'll wrap this show up on the other side on a Monday of a holiday week here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Is it weird that the Chiefs play on Black Friday and they play the team that's represented by the black hole?
I know, right? Crazy.
I see what you're doing, NFL. I see what you're doing.
But they really don't have the black hole anymore because it's overtaken by, I don't know, yesterday was the orange hole, then it's the red hole when the Chiefs are there, and whoever plays, like, they dominate, man. It is a venue that has lost one of the great home fields in sports because they moved. I understand it, but it ain't the same.
No. Got me all awake after that conversation. Now I hope everybody goes to work and they're like, hey, let's do this. You understand this Dan Campbell debate? I mean, I like the guy. I like the Lions. I like their story.
But who's better? Dan Campbell schlepping boneless wings or Andy Reid saying, Bundle Ruski. Like, you tell me, if you're deciding.
Talk about those nuggies.
Yeah, right? Like, you're deciding on what you want to do. Right?
Maybe
with
just,
coach of the year. Doesn't it have to come back to commercials?
Yeah. What happens when the Browns go to the Vegas?
It's a man, well.
Hey, Jake from State Farm. Check it out.
The old fumble rooski.
Or you can bundle home and auto and save money. The old bundle rooski.
Ooh, that's a better play.
Plus, it's more fun to say. Bundle rooski.
Yeah.
Bundle rooski, bundle rooski. Bundle rooski. Bundle rooski doo. Try it.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that.
Bundle and save with a personal price plan.
Thanks, Jake.
While like.
So, yeah.
I still
Andy wins.
That, and I still think his greatest audio is when he was on New Heights and they asked him to do the new news. Noonies. So great.
Bundle Ruski do. Bundle Ruski do.
That's my favorite one right
That's
there.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Bundle of Ruski do.
How do you give the nod to Dan Campbell? Maybe we're too close to the situation.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you're watching these national shows, right? Oh, Chiefs win 10-1, yada, yada, yada. Oh, my God, Denver won and they're 7-5. Let's throw a party. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. tough. But we did have a weekend, so we had our brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
Thank you. Bob, your brioche of the weekend is?
I am going for my Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend. What a game. And I think Ryan Day finally woke up, won a big game, and put that pizza place Cinzetti right in his place.
Yeah.
And I Google him, and it says loss next to the Ohio State game. Woo. So given my brioche of the weekend for Ohio State for letting them hang around for a hot minute, and then going out there and dominating that game and making Indiana realize, oh, this is what happens when you play a real team. Google me.
Had a cheeseburger and went to bed.
Bundle of Ruski too.
My brioche of the weekend. You ready for this one, boys?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Kansas Jayhawks.
There you go.
Hey.
Well done, boys. You shut me up on a Saturday. You took my bet, rubbed it in my face, and then threw it right back at me. I had Colorado -2.5. I had the over hitting, and KU went out there and smacked him in the face and never looked back. Devin Neal was great.
Devin Neal was really good.
Amazing. Unstoppable in that game. Could not. And he had, what, 4 touchdowns? Had
over, I think he just scored again.
Yeah, probably. He definitely scored after the game, too. Colorado, you are one of those teams that is on the slate for KU recently, who is going to play themselves into a bowl game now, which we thought was going to be laughable, but they have now beaten Iowa State, they beat BYU, and they beat Colorado in back-to-back-to-back weeks. My Colorado Buffalo and Coach Prime take a back seat to the brioche of the weekend this weekend, which was those Kansas Jayhawks for that Alex Gold and Rob Britton boys that went there, and Bob Fesco to you as well. Your KU Jayhawks gave me a big old slice of humble pie early before the Thanksgiving break.
I think, though, you know, this is why people had a hard time buying into Deion.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity. You got to win that football game.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
They didn't.
Didn't have them ready. I think Colorado just threw their helmets out there thinking, oh, it's Kansas, and they were down this year, that we're just going to win this game.
So did BYU, and so did Iowa State.
And you know, Colorado being third in line after watching all of that happen. Deion, this is on you, man. Like, I'm a big defender. I love what you're doing out there. I love that you're coaching college football. But this is a loss that's on the coach.
And now you're only going to see Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter for one more game because they're not going to make the college football playoff. They're probably not going to play in the Big 12 championship game, are they?
And they'll sit out the bowl game.
And they'll sit out their bowl. Yeah. Why would they play? No, they're number one and number two in the draft.
Right. That sucks.
They are 1 and 2 in the draft. I saw a mock this weekend that has Jacksonville and the Giants picking 1-2 and Jacksonville taking Travis Hunter and then the Giants taking Shedeur Sanders or vice versa, depending on, you know, how it all figures out and works out. So.
Giants have Malik Nabers and Travis Hunter as their wide receivers.
And no quarterback?
Eesh.
No, they're not taking Travis Hunter. They're taking Shedeur Sanders. Yeah.
Or Vegas is.
Don't know how I feel about Shedeur yet.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not out yet.
Are you ready to build your franchise around him in the NFL? Maybe you are. And if you are, great.
I think he just falls victim of the best in the class that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Cam Ward.
It's everyone. Right.
Shedeur.
Yeah,
it's Jokel or Fisher. Fisher actually worked out all right. Jokel did not.
And we know how this works. I mean, there's so much time till the draft. We're going to flip-flop on these guys so many times. We'll see what happens.
Where's your brioche at this weekend?
I mean, you guys are on it, man. College football was fantastic for the Vols, baby.
It was a good Saturday.
And it was great for the Vols. Everything happened for Tennessee that needed to happen. Ohio State did what they needed to do against pizza coach Cignetti.
Right.
Texas A&M lost. Ole Miss lost.
Why is Texas A&M still part of anybody's conversation on football? Like that, they're like the coach of the year team. Oh, Texas A&M, 6-5.
Well, if they beat Texas, they'll be in the SEC championship game. If they win the SEC,
it's the whole thing. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the SEC was bad, which was great for Tennessee. So Tennessee right back in the driver's seat.
You think that guy at Oklahoma saved his job by beating Alabama?
Yeah, probably.
My friend BJ works at Alabama, and Ryan Williams scored that touchdown. I go, I wish I knew somebody that could get me a Ryan Williams jersey, right? And then 24 points later, Oklahoma's got the win. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, lucky for you. He'll be back there for another 2 more years.
He's only 17.
That's right.
Dude, I love that guy.
Breaking news out of the NFL world. The Jets are retaining the 33rd team to support them on their upcoming general manager and head coach searches.
They're hiring a Twitter handle?
Former Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum and Vikings general manager Rick Spielman will lead the project for the NFL technology a media company, the 33rd team.
Okay.
There you go. I thought I'd make your Monday right there at that one.
In related news, the Royals are hiring Bob Fesco to consult on trades. You're hiring.
That's right.
All right, fine. I mean, I under who, Mike Lombardi and who's the other guy?
Tannenbaum.
Mike Tannenbaum, and that was it. It was who was the guy they who did you mention? Phil Savage, Phil Swift, somebody.
I can't remember.
It was Mike Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman.
Okay, so Mike Tannenbaum was fired by the Jets as their general manager. Jeez. And I think Rick Spielman may be their interim GM right now. So you're hiring a guy that you didn't think was good enough to be your GM to consult with you to hire your new GM. And we wonder why the Jets are where they are.
And Spielman looks like Scott Hansen in like 10 years. I'm not even kidding. Look at
this. No, I think I know who you're talking about.
Is that
about.
Not Scott Hansen in like 10 years on the right?
Oh, that's Rick Spielman? I thought that was Scott Hansen and Mike Tannenbaum. No. Oh, my God.
That's right, dude.
That is wild.
Check it out, camera. You can see it.
Holy cow.
And we're out of here. But like I always say, and this is an important week to do it because you're with family. You never know what people's families are going through. But go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay warm, and enjoy Cody and Drew from 10 to 2 here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Have a day.